going to try this, and Daryl, if we can work together here, Debbie's going to turn on our presentation, but as she does the technical stuff, my name is Debbie Turner. I'm with Lost River Community Co-op located in Paoli, and many of you have asked, where's Paoli? We're in the triangle of southern Indiana. We're located directly south of Bloomington, about 60 miles south. And then there's Bloomington to the north, Louisville to the east, and Evansville to the southwest. We're right in that triangle there. Orange County, I will tell you in advance, we are a very poor county. We always rated as first or second in terms of poverty levels, unemployment. We have low education levels, all of which means that we don't match any demographic for food co-ops. But as we go through this, we're kind of a stubborn group, and we thought, if you can't do it in a poor rural area, where should you be doing it? So we viewed our area as very underutilized in terms of food sources. All right, that's our logo for the community co-op. And this is our store. We opened this store last year, October 23rd, so we're celebrating our first birthday. We did a lot of renovation, including the front part of it, but this store was built in 1949 as a neighborhood grocery store, and we claimed it back. This is, we bill ourselves as a natural food grocery store offering healthy food choices close to home in Paoli. I want to say thank you right now before I go much farther for those folks who helped us get this far, many of whom are in this room. We received huge amounts of support from a national program called Food Co-op 500, and I know many of the startups are also working with that group of consultants and food co-ops. Their purpose is to increase the number of food co-ops to 500. Very warm thanks to the Indiana Cooperative Development Center and Debbie Troca, who were with us from the very first meeting. Blooming Foods folks are here. They also were there at our very first meeting. USDA folks have been available to us at any time, often. So those are just a few. We have had huge amounts of help and support. You're going to have to hit this several times. It's a page of photos, Daryl. Mm-hmm. These are opening day photos, and I've often taken them out of the presentation, put them back in, but it gives you an idea of what our store looks like. It's a real store. And a few things of interest. The gentleman in that left-hand corner, there's four gentlemen at the table. That's a business owner who owns our internet provider tech support company in the area. He bought all of his employees' memberships in the co-op as a member, as an employee benefit. The middle photo up at the top does show Brad Alstrom, who I hope you all meet today. He's back at our booth. He's our general manager, and we are thrilled to have Brad. You can see our Amish buggy in the parking lot in the middle. We are doing business with several Amish families as producers that they bring in product to sell at our store, but we also they are also our customers at the store. You do not have to be a member to shop at the store. And then the woman at the bottom on the left, that's Rosemary Robinson, and she's our member number one. Okay? Thank you. I want to include our mission statement because it embedded in it are many of the decisions that we made as we went along. We're a member-owned association dedicated to serving the needs of local growers, producers, and consumers by providing goods, services, and healthy food choices at fair value. We promote community well-being, economic prosperity, and self-reliance through cooperation. We have to tell you a little bit about how we got here. Many years ago, there was an organization, a nonprofit organization formed in Orange County that is known as Orange County Homegrown. We've done a lot as just a purely volunteer nonprofit organization. We have an arts program, we have a free concert program, and this next page is a lot of photos again, Daryl, sorry. And we also run the farmers markets in two locations. The most successful is Orleans, which is a tiny little town in northern Orange County. But at the Orleans market this summer, we peaked at 70 vendors. We do customer counts, and we know we have 400 to 600 customers each Saturday. Then we have a fledgling market in French Lick, which actually this year has taken off quite well. We do have crafts, we do have baked goods, we do have produce vendors. But this group realized that we, after several years, we were holding valuable relationships with vendors, with producers, and with customers, and could we go somewhere else with those relationships? So we met in September 2006. We just put ads in the paper, anyone interested, want to talk about a possible food co-op, and we had 60 people show up. We had our USDA friends there, Blooming Foods friends, ICDC friends, and the USDA fellows kept saying, we kept putting out more chairs, and he kept saying, they're not going to need all those chairs. We had standing room only. We had over 60 people. We asked them some key questions. Would this be something that they'd all be interested in pursuing? Would they be interested in financial support? Would they shop at such a center? And would you be on the steering committee? We ended that session with about a 16-member steering committee that we worked with for over 2 years before we opened the store. And we did the normal things. We did the feasibility study. We received grants from ICDC from at the very beginning for our feasibility study. We received a grant from the Food Co-op 500 program that helped with our marketing. We incorporated, we did our business plan, we launched a member loan plan. All this time we're creating membership programs. So we did all those normal things, funding partners and so forth. We probably were way ahead of ourselves, the consultants will say, because somebody actually came to us with the building. And they were a supporter, and they were able to sell us the building on very good terms on a contract situation. So then we had a building way before we were actually ready for it. Go ahead. Want to show a few legal and governance decisions that we made, because all co-ops are faced with some of these structural decisions. We are a for-profit cooperative corporation. We have patronage rebates written into our bylaws, so should we become profitable, we have a way to share that profit with members. We are a consumer co-op, not a producer co-op, and there was a great deal of discussion about that because of our relationship with vendors that we had. We have a system of membership equity and procedures for application and acceptance of members. And we created a member loan process with a great deal of help from our national consultants. I'm going to include the cooperative principles again because it is shocking to me how alive these are for our organization. We have them posted in our building, but many times we will talk about them amongst ourselves, in particular the cooperation among cooperatives, which has been huge for us, concern for community, education, the member economic participation. These are real words for us now. I want to talk a little bit about what we understand as our role of members as it stands today, that we anticipate economic participation from members through member equity and member loans, that they vote for the board of directors. And now, increasingly important, is that we also expect economic participation through continued support and promotion of the store. Members not only have to do their initial investment, but we need members to actually shop at the store for long-term support. And in hindsight, what I realized was an important role of the members, and that was developing the vision for the co-op, which I think is an important piece that we don't always give ourselves credit for while we're down in the trenches doing it. So I wanted to recap a little bit about how that may have occurred. Before I do that, though, I want to talk a little bit about challenges and successes, because Debbie said to mention that. So this is this good news, bad news thing. So currently, we don't have 579 members. We have 581 members. We had 100 member owners in January 2007 at our first annual meeting. We had 344 members when we opened the store last October, and we've grown since then to 581. So we're thrilled. We realized it's a lot easier when you have a store and they can come to you than what we were doing beforehand. So 581 today. And that we need at least 20 new members a month. That's according to our plan. We're not quite there yet right now in the last few months, but that's what we need on an ongoing basis. Challenges and successes for funding. I can't say enough to the credit union members here in this room. Thank you. Thank you for being credit unions. Our funding partners and our primary lenders our Hoosier Hills Credit Union, based in Lawrence and Orange and DuBois County. And they partnered with North Country Cooperative Development Fund out of Minneapolis. So those are the folks who are holding the major loan. Now, that's a success. We now are realizing every day that's also our challenge, that we have a loan with these folks and they're going to want to be paid back. Okay. Funding partners also included the town of French Lick and the town of Paoli. That was huge for us because it means that they had to get their names in the paper affiliated with us. It really broadened that community support. We actually got a sizable loan, $109,000. From French Lick, and a small loan of $25,000 from Paoli, but they had to dust it off. They didn't even remember they had the fund. So it was a really big deal. And then we had grants from ICDC and the Food Co-op 500. Other funding challenges and successes, we have a member loan program, which has been crucial for us. On the books, we're supposed to have about a third of our funding in member loans, and actually that's probably how it will end out, very close to that. We have 42 member lenders out of our 581 members. We have so far generated $260,000 in member loans, and we need $40,000 additional more to meet our business plan, our initial business plan, and that's all working capital. That's not about refrigerators anymore, it's about operating expenses. That would finish, that would reach our goal of $300,000. Now, I don't know about you guys, but we think this is quite amazing. We were pretty darn excited when we got our first $40,000. We said, wow, in Orange County, we got $40,000. We have generated $260,000 in Orange and surrounding counties, and no one ever expected that to happen. So these 42 member lenders have been huge supporters of this vision that we've had. Our biggest challenge right now is equating that support from the community and the members that they originally had to daily shopping support. We need continuous and growing shopping support from everyone. We expect 60 to 70% of our business to come from members. Brad is here and he's reliable. I'll probably bluff a little bit on the numbers, but if you have any questions about that, we didn't meet our revenue numbers from day one. And so he is a master, and he revised our business plan quickly, and we're not meeting that either. So our revenue, but he's also cutting expenses in a very efficient way, but we still need higher revenue numbers to make the store sustainable over time. So that member support in terms of daily and weekly shopping is the next message and the next hurdle. And another challenge and success is fulfilling that vision. I want to stop a minute because we accidentally did this. We had three formal ways to create a vision together as members. The first one came from Blooming Foods, with Blooming Foods help. And they came down to visit one day in a public meeting, and they described how they were visioning for the design and the opening of their new Westside store. And it was really fun for us to get a sense of how do you share a vision when you don't have anything tangible yet. We learned a lot of lessons. The second one was with the help of our credit union friends. They gave us one of their a couple of managers for an evening, and they came and they helped us create a vision. And we had people in small groups on the floor, at tables, on the wall, painting pictures, literally painting pictures of what would a store look like? What would a healthy store look like? What would a welcoming store look like? What would a store look like that would fulfill the other missions that we had? And from that evening, we took those visions along with us. That was an important piece. And then the third one was also from the help of Blooming Foods. We did a session called World Cafe, centering on what our educational purpose was. And from that was the blueprint of what we needed to do as an organization to help educate the community. And then these are the four core visions that came out of those sessions. One was that we wanted to be a full-service grocery store that brought in local producers and local products, but also offered natural, fair trade, bulk food, and that it would be member-owned. We had an environmental care vision that we would take care in our discussion and our decisions about products, materials, how we operated, members, and how we listened to the community and how we adjusted the community on environmental issues. Education, we had a very strong role in education, that we would somehow create education materials and opportunities to make the community and our agricultural community sustainable, health and nutrition, cooking classes, and community partnerships. We're not there yet, but our very, very first year of operation, we held our first education series with seminars and workshops for you, the community. This year, we're launching our second series, and several of those are in partnership with our local hospital, funded by our local community foundation. So broadening those partnerships and sharing in that mission was important. We had an economic vision. We are not a charity. We are not nonprofit. We wanted to create a business that was self-sustaining, locally owned, an economic venture that succeeded while featuring local and regional products. Now, I don't know about the USDA folks, but they may have experiences. In Orange County, we have sayings, and I'll paraphrase this from our board chair, who often says it. In rural, poor communities, you usually had three things happening. You could do pork, prisons, or poker as economic development. And many of the folks in Orange County Homegrown opposed a commercial prison in Orange County years ago, and that's how they all got to know each other. So the prison didn't happen. We constantly battle expansion and new the CAFOs in our county, and one was just, an owner just decided that he would not pursue that plan just in our neighborhood. And the poker we lost on because French Lick Casino, the casino did come through, but we're pleased with, very, very pleased with how that's developing and the responsibility level there. But we wanted to show that there was another way, even a very small way, that it could be local, it didn't have to be an out-of-town corporation, that it could feature local products, and that the money could stay at home. We opened with 14 new jobs. I think we're down to 9 right now as we've kind of scaled things down. But those are still 9 new jobs. And I'll end today with an economic impact that the store has had locally. Status report, we must grow revenue to survive. Brad has been excellent at maintaining expenses. We must grow membership by 20 per month. We must raise our remaining working capital of $40,000 if anyone would like to contribute. We're at the booth back there. Just a couple of things on boards, because we're all in, you probably all have boards of some kind. Here's our understanding of what our members of the board, what their responsibility is. They serve as trustees on behalf of our member owners. They provide leadership. They set long-range goals. And they ensure sound management. I'm not sure that we do that every board meeting, but that's our intent. We play in the areas of governance, membership. On purpose, we have decided that the board still helps in maintaining that link with members. We have a very small staff, and they're mostly operation-focused right now, so we're still very active in the membership role. We oversee the fiscal health of the co-op, and we hire one employee, and that's our general manager. And then we stepped. We were very evolutionary in committee structure. Early on, we had finance, membership, member loans, fundraising, and planning. Currently, we have a financial committee, member loans, education, and an executive committee. I want one other plug for our credit union. Our credit union branch manager was with us at that very early stage. He was an advisor on our finance committee from the very, very beginning. We have oversight of the general manager. We continue membership recruitment. We continue to develop capital, and we do the development of outreach activities. This is where I want to close with. So many of you, especially the food co-op folks out there, are interested in the local aspect of what that enterprise might be. We were too. And right now we know that we're doing business with over 40 local or regional entities. Now, many of those vendors, what we represent is a brand new market. Might be small, but it's still a brand new market that they did not have. We just did this reckoning a few weeks ago. We're very pleased with this. Every time somebody spends a dollar at our store, we turn around and disperse 67 cents of that dollar within 100 miles. And that's to local vendors, to employees, to our lenders who are local, to doing business with other local businesses, but we're very pleased with this number. So, any questions?
What is your population base that you have of 500 members?
Orange County is about 15,000, but our trade area is defined as 54,000.
And it's about a 6-county area, I believe. Someone over here?
Besides just new members, what is your strategy to grow?
Brad would probably have a much longer answer, but we know that we have to have a core group of, let's say, shoppers, member shoppers in Orange County. We think we know how to reach those through local advertising, and we've pretty much met our numbers, what we thought would be saturation there. We know that we have to get a certain amount of business from the tourist industry growing in Orange County, so we have a variety of ways of meeting and promoting to some of those entities. A harvest dinner with the French Lick Resort. There's condos, timeshare condos that we just had a tour come through, so constantly with those. A huge piece to us is that outside trade area. The county's contiguous to Orange County, and we received a grant, the first grant, from the Orange County Development Commission, which disperses some of the casino funds, and that was specific to marketing to out-of-county shoppers. So that right now we've just gotten some new billboards up at entryways, right at the county entryways. Brad has worked with a national postcard company that we're doing a database marketing piece that will go to surrounding counties on with some demographic choices, and that's all paid for through those grant dollars, trying to increase that outside business.
What's the benefits of being one of your members?
Benefit, she's asking about what are our membership benefits. There is a monthly member appreciation day where you get a 10% discount. That changes. Sometimes we'll do it a weekly, a smaller discount, but there is a member discount event periodically. Brad has just started a wonderful program of member specials that will be every day throughout the store, that there's two prices on item, very visible. You get the newsletter, you get a lot of information, and I may not be even doing the whole list because I think there's really only one benefit that matters, because as a member, you allow this store to happen in your hometown, in your home area. So I get a little blinded by those other things. So Brad has better information. Other questions? Thank you very much.